You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. My name is Tony East. As always, I cover the Pacers for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News, and today, normally it would be a weekly show, but it's all Raptors, Raptors, Raptors. Today, Pacers lost 107-102 to Toronto on Sunday after a rough night for both Sabonis and Brogdon. For the first time, they overlapped in a bad night of the season, despite getting good performances from every role player. Those two were not good enough, and the Pacers lost. They play the Raptors again tonight, so perfect time for some crossover action. Locked On Raptors host Sean Woodley and I chatted about the first game and what adjustments might happen for the second game. So hope you guys enjoy this conversation between me and Sean Woodley. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. You'll get 20% off your next order. Now let's talk Pacers, Raptors, round one, and what could change in round two tonight. Let's do it.
Hey, it's Sean Woodley from Locked On Raptors here with East of Locked On Pacers, right smack dab in the middle of a back-to-back between the Toronto Raptors and Indiana Pacers. The Raptors taking the first half on Sunday afternoon, 107-102. Tony, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I was at this game, and I think every 1 p.m. NBA game ever has been a weird game, and this game was absolutely no exception. So It was. I got to the stadium at like 11 in the morning for pregame media, and it was just all weird the whole time I was there. But every Pacers-Raptors game has been won by the Raptors since I was born. I swear that's not actually true. Not actually true. We were talking about this in another chat I was in. The Pacers are have five wins since 2014 or something. But it feels like the Raptors win all these, and this game was no exception.
Yeah, they. I mean, the playoff series probably kind of weighs on them a little bit too, even though that was a 4-3 series. So the Pacers got some wins there too. The only real Pacers win I can recall against the Raptors recently was one where the Raptors started out like, I don't know, they were up like 30-10, and then the Pacers went on like a 50-10 run or something like that.
New Year's Eve,
a couple years back. Yeah, yeah.
Christmas Eve.
So that's
one of
like
the
really. Yeah, there's a lot of the weird Pacers-Raptors games. This one, as you mentioned, included, full disclosure, I listened to this game entirely on the radio. Like, I was back in time listening to this one driving home from the cross-country ski hill. And so I didn't get to really, I've seen highlights since returning home and all that stuff, but I haven't seen the full game in its entirety on television. But I think there's lots of stuff I can infer from experience. It was, I don't know, my takeaway from just like listening to the game is it sounded like the Raptors were on their usual sort of play like demons on defense type thing, which has not been a regular occurrence this season. They kind of have recaptured a little bit in the last week or so and have had a few really nice defensive performances Friday against the Heat, last Monday against the Mavs. And this one, from the sounds of it, as I listened in, was maybe their best defensive performance yet. Of course, bearing the lead here without Pascal Siakam or Kyle Lowry, it was going to have to be a defensive first effort. Tony, you were there, man. And what would you think of how this one played out? Any sort of glaring big takeaways from the first half of the back-to-back?
The defense is where I would start if I'm talking about how the Raptors won, because you know Nick Nurse was talking before the game in a sea of questions about Nate Bjorker, and he got one about actually playing basketball and stopping the Pacers and what you think about there. These teams play sort of similarly, and he sort of mentioned the decision the Raptors have to make is kind of between Do you kind of go one-on-one with Sabonis and kind of let him make his tough shots and let other guys beat you? Or do you really sell out to stop Sabonis and, go that route instead? And the Raptors went with B. They said, we're not letting Sabonis do anything. We're going to cut off the rim and just swarm everyone on defense to not let them drive and make them run set plays to beat us. And that worked extremely well, right? Van Vliet did an amazing job this entire game for 41 minutes, by the way. He played a ton and played awesome with Lowry out on Brogdon. Brogdon shot 5 of 22. Chris Boucher, who is a delightful player, in his 21 minutes did a nice job on Sabonis. Aaron Baines had a few nice minutes on Sabonis. They threw some unique, I guess would be the perfect word, coverages at him, and he shot 1 for 10. Probably, no, not, no probably. Definitely his worst shooting game of the season. So The Raptors cutting off the rim. That's one of the Pacers' lifeblood this season. I think they lead the league or are top two or three in the league in points at the rim. They didn't have that tonight. They were shot 39 threes instead. They pivoted out there. Didn't make enough of those to win. And with Brogdon and Sabonis struggling, all credit to the Raptors' defense. They did a really nice job defensively. And Nick Nurse, to his credit, literally laid out the game plan before the game. One of the options was a defensive bonus, and it worked. So all the credit to the Raptors there.
Yeah, good for Nurse there, just calling his shot beforehand against his old disciple, Nate Bjorkgren. I think it's interesting. Usually the Raptors play this like star killer defense where they really sell it to stop the best player on a team. But oftentimes it's against like perimeter players and lead guards and Luka Doncic's and stuff like that. It's a little different for them to do it against a big man. You know, really the only big men they come across are, you know, very scary in, you know, the general run of their seasons, minus some Western Conference games here and there, like Bam Adebayo, who's still, you know, I think figuring out his sort of one-on-one game is not really a go-to scorer as much as he's just kind of a playmaker at this point, who can score. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, it's like Joel Embiid's kind of the other guy. And until this year, they've only played one game against them. I mean, they had Marc Gasol just like, you know, making him his child for, you know, 48 minutes a game before that. So they haven't like had a ton of experience with a sellout on a big man type thing. And, you know, I guess they were hoping that the Pacers were going to miss a ton of threes in this one. They didn't shoot like miserably from three. They were 13 of 39. Brogdon was terrible, 1 of 10. And that's right there. I mean, that's the difference
that's the
in
the
game. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Like if Brogdon has a normal game, the Pacers probably win this because the Raptors, as noble as their defensive effort was, it's not like they had a ton of offense in the lineup in this one, right? Like So it's Lottison, who is good for his one bucket a game, and he got it. Good for him. And he played some excellent defense, was part of that Sabonis shutdown sort of team effort. And you get like DeAndre Bembry and Yuta Watanabe and a bunch of bench guys coming in, all of whom are defense first with very little offense. And, you know, the Raptors, I think, just scraped by barely enough here. If they have Lowry and Siakam again on Monday, I'd be pretty surprised if they pulled off another similar win, frankly, just because, you know, it's tough to get by out your two best offensive players. But maybe it doesn't matter because OG Anunoby is actually Kawhi Leonard now. So
OG was insane. That's a big thing from this game that you know, the Raptors, no Siakam, no Lowry. I thought, you know, like Fred's good, and I'm from the same town as Fred originally, so like big fan of him, obviously. But like he doesn't have all the creation stuff to just run this offense, right? Like he'll probably get 22 and 8 or something like that, but that's not gonna be enough for the Raptors to win. But then they get creation and buckets from OG from just everywhere, right? The dude hit almost every three he took, it felt like, and had some nice drives. His strength is just insane. Like he was the guy defending Sabonis a few times when Baynes and Boucher were out, which was rare, but it still worked. And he combined that with, again, ridiculous offense. And some of it was self-created, some of it was spotted, but still, when you get 30 points from anyone, it doesn't matter how, that's a ridiculous game, right? So OG stepping up and being a fantastic offensive player really bridged that gap. And the Pacers with Bjorkgren kind of fit the mold that you just described with Nurse, the star killer defense, right? I mean, these teams are like spitting images of each other. It's kind of funny, but you know, they
shout out to Caitlin Cooper, yes, branding them the Indiana Raptors. always shout out to Caitlin.
Yeah. She's a fantastic writer, writing about how these teams are twinning was very good. And, you know, the thing that Nurse said before the game too, is the Pacers kept following the Raptors and opponents. Like the Raptors would play the Mavs and the Pacers would play the Mavs. And then the Raptors played, like it kept happening. So he was like, Nate's been scouting us way more than I've been scouting him. But anyway, the twinning of the team was that the Pacers also still had to stop the stars, or, you know, get the ball out of the best creator's hands. And in this case, it was Fred. And they tried to make him to make him give it up more. And they played this really aggressive defense, and it didn't work. They got beat by everybody else. Raptors shot 43% from deep and got some good looks at the rim. And it felt like every time the Pacers, I think their biggest lead was like 3 or 1, right? They got the lead a few times, but they never got it to like a point where I even thought the Raptors would be like, this is threatening. I want to see if I can find the biggest. Yeah, the biggest lead for the Pacers was 1. So they could get the lead and they would finally get it back, and then they couldn't hold it, right? The Raptors just, every time the Pacers would blitz a ball handler or whoever, like someone would hit an important and timely shot. And if you're going to sell out to stop the star, the role players have to beat you. And the Raptors did a nice job of that in this one.
What's up, guys? Let's take a short little break amidst all this Raptors-Pacers fun to talk about Built Bar, because Built Bar is making the best-tasting protein bars ever, and if you haven't tried them yet after me talking about them on the show for months and months and months, you're seriously missing out. People on Twitter keep telling me how awesome they are. I'm serious. Just try them for yourself. I eat one almost every day now. They're really healthy and great protein bars for the health-conscious guy. They're great for losing or maintaining weight, and best of all, of course, they're delicious. They're 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They have 18 great flavors to try. I seriously love all of them. I think I said a different one is my favorite on the show many times because that changes all the time. They're delicious. The cookies and cream one I had today was magnificent. I highly recommend them, that cookies and cream one. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. Go try them out. BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. You'll get 20% off your next order with that promo code LOCKEDON. That's 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah, the Raptors, you know, used to be their thing where they would go on like runs entirely powered by their defense. Like they might run in terms of like half court exciting offense, but they would, you know, turn 4 or 5 minutes of insane defense into like a stream of transition opportunities and whatnot. And they haven't done a great job of that this year, like putting together 5-6 minute runs where they are that sort of menacing defensive team. And in this one, they kind of did, right? And those moments where the Pacers did draw close just because it was kind of always inevitable, whether they fell down by 13 or not, like the Raptors did not have a ton of firepower on the floor or available at any point in this game. And it always seemed like the Pacers were going to make those runs. But the fact that the Raptors could kind of like, you know, curb them a little bit and, you know, manage to get whatever they could milk out of their offense, you know, that's, again, that's the game. You know, this was skinnier end for the Raptors considering the personnel they had available, and I don't know how you could leave it being not impressed with the way they kind of executed everything. And I feel bad for Pacers fans. You were victim of like the first good Aaron Baines game all season long, so congrats for having that distinction. You know, his 12 points, I was checking the box score. I checked the box score when I got home from my drive, and I was just like stunned at the existence of a plus points on Aaron Baines' line, because that is not a thing he's been known for this season. But nice to see he's alive and kicking. And that's the thing too, is the Raptors have had, you know, at most like 3 or 4 guys good on, you know, most nights this season, and they got a whole bunch of good performances in this one, even without Lowry and Siakam. So pretty impressive win overall. Any last stray thoughts on this one before we kind of take a look at tomorrow's game, Tony?
Aaron Baines shoots the ball like a shot put is my last thought on Aaron Baines. But
it's insane.
It went in this game. I feel like we haven't really gone too role playery on the Pacers side, which is just where I will close my thoughts because that's the team I cover. But
yeah.
You know, usually the problem for the Pacers, Sean, I don't know if you know this, is they'll get a lot from Brogdon and a lot from Sabonis, and one of their two other guys will do good, but none of the rest of the role players will step up, right? They don't quite get enough from these ancillary guys to win. When they lose, that's typically been the blueprint. Today was the exact opposite, right? Lamb, first of all, Jeremy Lamb against the Raptors is hilarious. He always plays well against them. It makes no sense. But Lamb played well, 13 points. McConnell scored 8 points. Aaron Holiday actually shot okay. Doug McDermott had 13. Justin Holiday had 16. They got – Turner had 25 and 6 blocks, right? They got every ancillary guy who isn't like a key option on almost every offense possession did really well on offense this game. And then Sabonis and Brogdon were the two that were struggling. They combined to be 6 for 32. It was just such a rare – game like that. And while the Raptors again deserve credit for, you know, doing exactly what Nurse said they would do and slowing down Sabonis and preventing the Pacers from getting what they want at the rim, the Pacers seem to think after the game in all their post-game interviews that, and I agree with this, that, you know, going to the rim, like they just missed, right? Like obviously that's how you feel when you lose, you just miss shots, but they liked the shots they got. And you know, you don't, like to Brogdon's defense a tiny bit, you don't shoot 22 times unless you're like, you feel like you're open. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's forcing it. Malcolm Brogdon's a pretty smart player. So I think if the Pacers play similarly, like style-wise that they did in this first game, this is me bridging it to what you just said, by the way, the next game. I think if the Pacers play similarly stylistically from game 1 and 2, I think they can come out with a win just on natural progression from their stars, but they will have to get another okay game from some of those ancillary guys.
Yeah, right. I guess it also totally depends too on, you know, who the Raptors available. If they have Kyle and Pascal, you know, with fresh legs, that could be a big deal in a back-to-back where both teams are on the same back-to-back, and the Raptors clearly had to expend a ton of energy just to win with the guys they had available. I'm really curious about how they're managing this foot thing and this groin thing for Kyle and Pascal respectively. You know, maybe because it was like a short day and a half turnaround from their last game Friday night to the afternoon game today. Maybe that's why they both sat this one, and maybe they'll both be available on Monday. You know, Kyle, I think, is already a game time decision listed. And, you know, Pascal played Friday when it was kind of, and I'm just wondering if maybe that's the strategy there. So you kind of come in with the second night having those guys fresh and available, and then it's obviously a very different game, and the matchup changes entirely.
Right.
Although I don't think the Raptors will change the way they play their defense all that much. I think it'll mostly be on the offensive end where they won't work quite as hard to get whatever they could get, scrape by with in the one on Sunday afternoon. It's really fun, this like Nurse Bjorkgren thing, because they are spitting images of each other. They do have very similar tendencies. Obviously, I don't want to say like Bjorkgren learned everything he knows from Nick Nurse, but I don't know. Did he?
Pretty much.
Maybe? Yeah. And so like, I'm curious, like the sort of cat and mouse of what the adjustments will be. And this is what I love about these little two game series that are a ton of fun is, you know, how does team X adjust to what team Y did? You know, this has happened with the Raptors last week when they played the Heat twice in a row, where the Heat, you know, torched them with the zone, and then they kind of, you know, they still threw the zone at the Raptors a bunch and it made them struggle, but they found other ways to kind of get around it and find buckets. And I don't know if you're the Pacers, Tony, how do you think they sort of counteract the extra attention that you're going to send to Sabonis and Brogdon? Do you just hope and trust that McDermott and Turner and Holiday and McConnell and Lamb will have good games again, or will they have to do something else to maybe sort of free those guys up?
Well, first of all, I'm excited to see how Bjorkgren adjusts, and I was hoping that the Pacers won this game just so on this very podcast I could say, ooh, the 6-10 Raptors, man, they really could use Bjorkgren's braids on their bench. Maybe they lost more than they found. Now I can't do that because the Raptors won, so... Yeah, it's fun to hear this.
And the Pacers and Raptors, by the way, are 0.1 point away from each other in the net rating standings.
Wow. So they're only like a game apart, right, in the standings in general. So that's not that crazy.
They will be if the Raptors win tomorrow.
Got it.
Exactly one.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the stories of Bjorkgren like calling Nick Nurse begging for a job and on the G League team, and how these they're from the same state and hang out in basements and draw plays. It's just too fun, but... They can, unfortunately, due to COVID, have a ton of fun these games. But adjustments-wise, yeah, well, you actually asked me. First of all, Sabonis himself, I think, just needs to set a few more screens. That seems very obvious, but I felt like he was screening and not rolling as much. They were doing a lot of double drag, and I don't want to get too nitty-gritty, but they didn't have him in the stuff that I felt like is so common for him. And some of this is, like I just said with Brogdon, Brogdon shot 22 times, and again, Brogdon's a smart player. He's not shooting 22 times unless he thinks he's open, but he did over-dribble a few of them, and Sabonis only taking 10 shots is also a little on the low side for him. So I think that the Raptors' attention did, you know, force him to not have the shots as much, but that also, to me, is some evidence that they went away from a staple of their offense, which is him picking and rolling. They did have him posting up a lot, but less in the role game. So maybe going to that a little bit. And then the other thing that that Bjorkgren mentioned after the game is might change up his rotation a little bit in the next game. They only went 8 deep, which is always surprising, right? And tons of minutes for Justin Holiday, Brogdon, and Sabonis. Fred, too. I mean, the Raptors and Pacers just love hammering their starters. But 8 deep is kind of weird. And
it's the Iowa way, man.
I guess. I guess, yeah. The Raptors have been kind of heavy starter minutes for forever anyway. Like, it's not crazy, but this is the first year the Pacers are getting used to it. So it's new for me. But I think he might try to get Edmund Sumner on the court in this game. Sumner was playing very well before Lamb returned. And then even when Lamb did return, had a few nice games as a starter. He didn't play in this one. I think he'll probably get some minutes. Maybe they can mix up their bench rotation a little more, just so they can mix and match more groups. You know, again, the Bjorkgren nearest way. So just some subtle lineup changes here and there might change the game a little bit, but I'll be curious what Nurse does too, because there wasn't, again, the Pacers smoked him with the ancillary guy. So I wonder if Nurse adjusts a little on the way he rotates to try to slow down Jeremy Lamb or slow down Justin Holiday or whatever they can do.
One more little break here, guys, to talk about the official betting sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network, betonline.ag, because The Super Bowl is here. We just saw Tom Brady and the Buccaneers take down the Packers, and it is currently ongoing, but it looks like the Chiefs are going to take down the Bills. So Super Bowl's coming up, NBA full swing, college basketball full swing. My Hoosiers looking rough after losing to Rutgers. But there's only one place you can go to bet on all the action for any sport that you prefer, betonline.ag. If you sign up there today with a free account, of course, use the promo code LOCKEDON and do so, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on wherever you're deposited. They have the NFL games of the week, which, of course, is now going to be the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. They have all the top college games, all the top headlines in sports. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Use the promo code LOCKEDON again for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Yeah, I kind of doubt we'll see that much of a different approach just because that's kind of always the sort of, what the hell is it called? The balance beam, the line. What's the high wire? That's what it is.
There you go.
The high wire that the Raptors kind of, you know, operate on, right? Where they are so hell-bent on stopping the stars on a team. And usually it's just like a one-star situation where they really sell out. And obviously it was a little different, same kind of result with Brogdon and Sabonis. And I think they kind of always operate on, yeah, okay, well, if we force the best player to go 1 of 10, you know, I don't think Miles Turner is going to go 8 of 12 every game. Right.
Right.
And I think we'll probably see them kind of roll out and probably expect, hey, maybe we get some regression from those other guys and you get, you know, lesser performances from Justin Holiday. He doesn't go 4 of 9. He goes 2 of 7 or something like that. And even if Sabonis and Brogdon do make up a little bit of what they didn't have today, then maybe the math still works for the Raptors. But again, like I said, if they don't have Siakam and Lowry, I'm going to pick the Pacers to win that game on Monday night just because it seems like a lot to carry that energy over the defensive energy that they had Sunday afternoon into a second game of back-to-back, even with a little extra time to rest with it being an afternoon game. It just feels like a big ask. And it also, it feels like a big ask to, you know, have OG Anunoby score 30 points again, even though maybe that's just what he does now. I don't know. You know, like there weren't any performances on the Raptors outside of Bane that I would, you look at and say, oh, well, that guy, you know, you can expect more from, or it's all kind of the exact same as what you'd expect, frankly. And so, if anything falls back in terms of OG or Powell or Van Vliet, then you're probably looking at a pretty difficult ask for the Raptors to pull out a win. Either way, man, it'll be a lot of fun. These games are always wild and crazy and stupid, and it has a new level of intrigue with the Iowa boys now coaching against each other. There needs to be some like disparaging stuff between them. Every time you have like a coach who has, you know, coached another coach or coached with another coach, it's all just friendship and niceness. Was there any sort of like subtle digs between either Nate or Nick in any of the availabilities today?
Not really. I think
cowards.
I know. No one really asked like that. You know, the whole pregame availability was like, how awesome is it to, or how excited? Like no one was really going the other direction. I did see they both used all of their angry energy on the officials in this game. Like there was a lot of ref yelling. And this game was so interesting because like these guys were bludgeoning each other on both sides and no calls were happening, right? Pretty low free throw game in general. It was a little more than I thought, I guess, looking back at it, 48 in total. But there was a lot of contact in this game, just in general. Both coaches like to get to the rim. And so both coaches were doing a lot of ref yelling. Nick Nurse at one point was trying to get a tech. I saw him. He was clapping at a ref for like 20 seconds. And he's staring at him. And the ref never looked back at him. So he finally stopped clapping. And then one time during a timeout, Bjorken went up to two refs individually to talk to them. And I was like, man, these guys are heated about the officials in this game. But no animosity towards each other. I mean, I'm assuming they're really good friends after how much they've been through together. So it's just going to be the Iowa Bowl. And Nick Nurse talked about that before the game. I think Michael Grange, I think he's on the rep. That's a name on the Raptors beat, correct?
He
asked about it. And he said, yeah, this will be the second biggest game in Iowa today behind the Chiefs game. Because apparently a lot of people in Iowa like the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know anything about football fandom, but I'm assuming that is correct because he's from Iowa. So
I believe Nick and Nate are big Chiefs fans. So that's
okay. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, like, I don't know, like, I find that the people I say the meanest thing to things to are my best friends. So nurse and Nate should step that up and, you know, give us some entertainment. By the way, you're going to get used to, if it is going to be, in fact, the Indiana Raptors, get used to ref screaming, because that is the thing the Raptors love to do the most.
Bjorkman's usually pretty composed, but yeah, today he was very angry a few times. Aaron Holiday got a tech in this game. I mean, it gets
him all riled up, I guess. I don't know.
It was a real let him play game. But to something you said earlier, if both Pascal and Kyle are out again, I'm also picking a Pacers win. If one of or both Pascal and Kyle play, I'm actually going to pick another Raptors win, because one, like I said earlier, I think the Raptors just always beat the Pacers. And two, I just don't know that the Pacers it just felt off, right? It felt weird. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they can overcome weird, but something about the way the Raptors played made the way they played feel weird. And if they can do that again, I think they can win even with just one of the two stars. So if they're both out, yeah. Pacers, if one or both plays, I'm picking Raptors.
That's a good point. You know, for Raptors fans who have been concerned about the defense all season long, and it's finally starting to turn around, having a team play as though they feel weird is kind of what the Raptors' whole goal is. So that seems to be a mission accomplished if you're the Raptors. And this has now been amazing 3 out of 4 games. So shout out to them. Tony, shout out to you, man. It's always lovely catching up with you, man. It's always a wonderful little team up we got going on here. People, check out Locked On Pacers.
Yes, and my listeners should check out Locked On Raptors, because you fit the Canadian people are all nice stereotype very well, Sean. So I always enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, I'm nice. You know, I'm nice because I didn't make any OG and an OBTJ Leaf digs today.
You just did, though. You just did. Yeah. You messaged me about it. Can I spoil our private messages like that? I just said
that. Yeah, go nuts.
You did message me about it, so does that count? It drives me crazy. Like, it happened, not you. You did not drive me crazy. My reply people, like, guys, that draft was 5 seasons ago. Like, we get it. It happened, okay? It's over. TJ Leaf's not on the Pacers anymore. We don't have to talk about it. Like, we just don't have to talk about it anymore.
I'll talk about it any opportunity. It's very funny.
We don't have to talk about it anymore. It's okay.
Tony, man, this was great. Listen to Locked On Pacers. Listen to Locked On Raptors. At T East NBA, is you on Twitter?
Correct. You're at Woodley Sean. I know that.
Damn right. All right. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy Monday's game, and we will talk to you again very soon, I'm sure.